This is Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning, and this morning our guest is Dr. Craig Packer. He's the director of the Lion Research Center at the University of Minnesota and the author of a brand new book called Lions in the Balance, Man-Eaters, Manes, and Men with Guns. Craig, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Your book came out in September, so when Cecil the Lion was killed in July, it must have already been at the publisher. And it's easy to see, doing a little poking around, that you have given a lot of interviews about that controversial death. But what was the original focus of your book? And do you have a sense that it may have gotten bent or diverted a little bit and somehow caught up in the controversy surrounding Cecil's death?
Yeah, I think the events around Cecil are a bit of a distraction. They're relevant in some ways, but they're really just the tip of a much bigger iceberg. And so I think much of what I was trying to do in the book was say, well, let's accept that there are many ways that you might go about trying to conserve a difficult, dangerous species like the lion. And one of them might well be that sport hunting in areas that would never be visited by tourists, that would never generate any kind of foreign revenue, that would justify setting aside this land, could come from hunters. But in practice, I spent years discovering that, at least in Tanzania, which is where I'd been doing most of my work, that whole ideal was really subverted by corruption, nepotism, and really crass mismanagement. And so I had come to the conclusion that the whole system was inadequate and, in fact, could be contributing to the downward trends in populations in many parts of Africa. And the thing that happened with Cecil is just one example of how there's very little accountability, there's very little oversight, and there's very little recognition of how expensive conserving these animals really is. And so I think my primary reaction in hearing people listen, when I was listening to people talk about the Cecil thing, so people said, oh, that guy's paid $50,000. That's a lot of money. But in fact, it's very, very little money and not nearly enough to pay for the true management cost of Cecil's home territory and the land that he needed to grow up in.
Of course, the controversy, well, one of the things that I think that we discovered, perhaps as a community, is that we discovered that there are people that have that much disposable income, and for those of us employed by a university, that is a little surprising. But we also discovered that, you know, and Americans, oh, this was so wrong, you know, that he was, it seemed as though he had been lured off an area where he was protected. This is one of the things that's been a constant for a number of years when it comes to animal conservation, is the idea of the one versus the many, and the one like Cecil that people, in a sense, get to know, and the idea that if you get to know this one animal, perhaps that your compassion and care then will extend to the rest of the species. Did people react to the right thing when he was killed? Did they react to the death of one lion, or did they react to a death as part of a larger situation?
I think part of the human condition is it's very easy for us to empathize with a single individual. And so, you know, it's Cecil. He has a nice name. I'm not sure how famous he really was. I think most of the people who are, you know, weeping in public about this animal probably never heard of him before he was shot. But there is this human tendency to focus on specific individuals, especially if we give them nice names, and then everything kind of flows from that. And one of the frustrations for anyone who tries to work with conservation is that what you're really trying to do is protect a whole community, protect a whole species. But once you start talking in numbers, people's eyes just glaze over. And, you know, Cecil is one animal, but, you know, that same strategy of luring animals out of the park has been very common in Zimbabwe. Hundreds of males have been killed that way. And, you know, this is known pretty well. And I think there was kind of a perfect storm of it being a named individual as a particularly unpleasant situation where the animal had a radio collar. and people were really ready. There's been a lot more, I think, public hostility to sport hunting in general in the last few years. I think there's a generational change that's happening right now, that we have more of an urban population. A lot of our citizens are never directly affected by the depredations of a cattle-killing animal or a man-eating animal. And so when you have these kinds of contrasts between some people who are directly harmed by them versus those that have no idea what these animals are really like in the wild, what kind of threats they really pose, you get really polarized discussion. And it feels very similar to a lot of the other discussions we have in this country that really pose opposition between rural Minnesotans and city dwellers, that people don't understand what it's like for the other side. And so the animal rights extremes that really make a big fuss about a particular individual lion, you know, that contrasts with the attitudes of a lot of local people in Zimbabwe. And in fact, there was an op-ed in the New York Times a few weeks after all this broke out, where a Zimbabwean was saying, well, he was actually kind of glad Cecil got shot, because these lions, you know, they might eat his family's cattle. They might have attacked his family's small children. And there was a huge uproar against him. In fact, I met him. I was in North Carolina a few weeks ago giving a talk, and he's a graduate student at Wake Forest. And he was very reluctant to come and join a panel discussion on exactly this issue, because he said he'd been getting so many death threats by people who were so in love with an animal they'd never met, they'd never seen what it was really like in the wild. So there is this strange kind of emotional connection people feel with an abstract ideal of what they imagine a lion is like. And, you know, is it from the Wizard of Oz? Is it from the Lion King? But the reality of these animals is that they'll eat you and your little dog too, to stick with a Wizard of Oz kind of viewpoint. They're very, very dangerous. And so there's a real conflict amongst a lot of people on how are you going to try to conserve a species that's inherently as dangerous as lions, or as inherently dangerous as elephants that trample people and destroy their crops.
I wish we had more time to talk about this, Craig, because you speak from such a position of experience over time with a variety of people, and you have the conservation and the knowledge of the animal population, but you've also been dealing with people and a culture, and you have a sense of how the pieces fit together. One final question, even though I'm pushing it time-wise. Yeah. If there was one message from your book that you feel was overshadowed by the Cecil the Lion controversy, to go back to your book in particular, if there was one thing that you wanted to communicate that you were concerned had kind of been lost in the shuffle, what would that be?
I think the whole point of my book is just how incredibly complicated it is when you have a species as dangerous as lions that eat people, kill their livestock, and then you have various long-term historical attitudes about how can we protect these areas, how can we protect these animals. And yet you've got so many vested interests. So the sport hunters want to keep hunting. The conservationists keep wanting to get your donations tugging at your heartstrings. But in fact, it's much more complicated. And it's hugely expensive. To actually protect lion populations is not a $1 million a year problem. It's a $1 billion a year problem if we're looking across all of Africa. And so we need to be much more creative. We need to think much more carefully about how we're going to approach the challenge of protecting this species into the future.
Craig, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. It was wonderful to have you as a guest.
Thank you.
Dr. Craig Packer is the author of a book called Lions in the Balance, Man-Eaters, Manes, and Men with Guns. Our guest this morning talking about his book on Minnesota Reeds. Minnesota Reeds is produced at KUMD with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.